We are live. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the TMS podcast. My name is Mitchell, and I'm here with
Steven. Hello.
And Tommy. Hello.
So the three TMS members. Today, we're going to be continuing on where we left off last week, which is kind of our journey through YouTube and kind of, I don't know, just go through the kind of the behind the scenes of how we got to where we are today.
Yeah.
Well, last episode, we went up until basically our first ever video on TMS Productions, all the way up until we just like basically the video before we started Out of 52, which is probably where a majority of people, well, not a majority, actually a small minority of people at once you think about it, know us from. But that's basically where we got our start on YouTube and then built our initial audience.
Yeah.
And so we're going to be continuing on from that point to present day, hopefully, if we make it that far.
I think we will.
Before we get into that, though, I want to give a huge thank you to Rode for not sponsoring this episode, but they are the ones who hooked us up with all the microphones and recorders and stands and cables for us to even do this podcast. So if it wasn't for Rode, we wouldn't be here.
Exactly.
That's why it sounds so good. And that's why it sounds so good. So if you are ever interested in starting a podcast or doing anything audio related, because we've used their microphones on our cameras for filming YouTube videos for years, and they've been amazing. Go check out Rode because they have tons and tons of good stuff. The mics that we're using right now are the pod mics, which are kind of like their podcast specific microphones, and they do sound quite good. So yeah, anyways, thanks to Rode, and I guess on with the show. So where do we want to start?
Well, I mean, the first thing we want to talk about before we get into that is I know that the whole, like, what's the scuttlebutt in the filmmaking world?
Oh, God, that's such a horrible word.
Grandpa Steve.
Oh, right. Yeah, we were going to talk about the DJI FPV drone and kind of our thoughts and opinions on that.
Yeah, because that just came out, I think it was like 6 days ago now. And I've had quite a few people ask me, like, hey, what do you think about this? And because I'm kind of like the FPV drone guy in TMS Productions, it's interesting. Because I saw quite a few reviews and everybody obviously uploaded their video the first day it came out. My one big concern is just if you break it, what happens? Because if you're not familiar, this thing is basically a FPV drone that is basically a single body design. It's all plastic. It's basically a toy version.
Yeah.
Well, DJI tried to make it extremely
accessible
to people who don't have any clue how to do FPV. Because before, FPV was you had to buy the parts, you had to then put the whole thing together, you had to solder yourself, and then you also had to troubleshoot yourself, and then finally, hopefully, if you're lucky, get it into the air within a week or two of you actually embarking on your journey.
Yeah. Exactly. So I saw these videos and I was like, this is interesting. First of all, I don't really like how it looks. It looks kind of weird.
It's pretty ugly.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like bloated. Like
it's very like rectangular, but kind of on a 45 degree angle. And then it's like, so when you're flying, so when it's flying, it's technically level.
Well, I get that, but it's just when it's landed, I don't know. It just looks kind of funky.
When you compare it to like an actual like handmade FPV drone, which just looks like menacing and it's so cool. And you can see exposed wires and everything. It looks like a toy.
The thing that I find that people are like, oh guys, check this out. It's so cool. They say the sound when you turn it on. I saw a couple people post about the sound when you turn on the drone, and it has like this like monstrous sound, like it's starting up. And I was like,
that doesn't get you good footage.
I was gonna say, they're like, guys, check out how badass this drone sounds. And I'm like, cool. They just added that in post with an MP3 file. Yeah. Like, it's not like it actually is cool because of the noise.
Okay. And well, another thing I saw was like, so Joshua Bardwell, if you know who he is, and if you're into FPV drones, he's like the godfather of. If you ever have an issue, go to his YouTube channel because he'll tell you everything about how to fix it. He is the guy, he was going to review this thing, or he did review it on his channel. His first flight out, he broke it. He crashed it and snapped one of the arms off. And coincidentally, DJI sent him two because they probably thought that he was going to break it. And so it didn't look like a big crash either. So I was a little like,
it looked quite small. Like it looked like something where if you had done it with an actual FPV drone, you would just brush it off and you'd be up flying in the next 30 seconds. Like,
Those things are, I think, quite delicate.
Yeah. I heard something about, they have like this like maintenance program or something. Yeah, I wasn't sure what that was about.
So it's called DJI Care. They've had it forever and they actually have it for normal drones too. Cause we debated getting it for our first drone, the Phantom 4. The original Phantom 4 when it came out. And what it is basically like a monthly program. You can, I, if I remember correctly, it's a monthly program you can buy into.
No, I think you buy it once.
Oh, you buy it once.
Like, I think it's like $400 or $300. And then you basically have this protection plan. It's like Apple Care, but for your drone. You own that Apple Care or DJI Care. And then if you ever break it, you can send it in for a deductible of probably 90.
I think it was upwards of like over $100.
Okay. Over $100 deductible to get it fixed. And then they send it back to you and your drone's good to go.
Okay. But
I mean, if you have this FPV drone, you crash it, then it takes 2 weeks to get it repaired.
Yeah, because you got
to
send it in too. It's not like you can fix it yourself on your own time.
Exactly. And they said they're going to be offering some parts like on their website, but it's going to be like maybe a spare arm. But if you have any bigger issues, like you break the front.
Well, like someone, they said they're going to have spare arms as well as there's one other piece.
A gimbal. They had the gimbal.
Oh yeah, gimbal or something. Mm. But people were saying, what happens if I break the motor? Like, what if the motor itself breaks? Do I need to then replace the whole arm? And they were like, well, yeah, unfortunately. And the arm's probably going to be $150 anyways. Okay.
The drone itself. So you buy the whole kit for $1,300.
US.
So, I mean, I'm not going to do the conversion because that's kind of a lot of work.
It's
but
like around $1,400 Canadian.
Exactly. But you buy the whole kit, which you get everything you need at it. And what? But if you add up everything separately, it's a substantial discount if you were to buy everything separately. The drone itself, if you were to, say, crash the drone and absolutely lose it and totally, like basically total the thing and have to buy it, it's $750
That's
to buy just the drone. You could build two really nice FPV drones for that price.
Yeah.
Like that's our FPV drone,
Canadian dollars.
Exactly. Our FPV drone is probably $300 at the most, at its peak.
Yeah.
Gosh. Exactly.
What do you think of the extended battery life though?
That is tempting. That's really tempting, but I mean,
get 20 minutes out of an FPV drone is unheard of because most FPV drones get 5 to 7 minutes if you're lucky.
Yeah.
Well, but the only reason they're able to pull that off, this is going to get really technical, but instead of using lithium polymer batteries, which is what most FPV drones use, which are like those really hobbyist high performance batteries, they use lithium ion, which are the same batteries that are in your phone. Mm. They hold a lot more power, but the only issue is that they output it at a much slower rate. So you can't go nearly as fast or do as nearly quick maneuvers with a drone powered by lithium ion batteries than lithium polymer.
You get real technical.
But you can get like 20 minutes of flight time, which is right. Really nice.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I would like that.
And also the camera on it. I saw this thing and some guy was like, are we not going to address how bad the dynamic range is on this camera?
Oh, really?
This guy was trying to film and he was like, it was a sunset. And he's like, oh, this is probably when you'd maybe fly your FPV drone. I saw this on Twitter. And then it would literally look like a potato. Like,
oh, no.
Because it was so dark and bright and the camera didn't know what to do. And it was just, it was a mess. And I'm like, the camera isn't actually that good.
Well, and something that I haven't seen enough about, which is probably because most people are raving about how great this drone is because they got it sent for free.
And they're probably paid by DJI. Yeah.
But when you film video, you can see the propellers in the video, which is an immediate red flag for me. Like, no chance I'm ever going to buy a drone that you can literally, you have to crop in to crop the propellers out of the shot.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Like, come on, DJI.
Amateur hour.
Yeah. So, I mean, to sum it all up, I would say, if you want that, like basically it's only for the people who are really new into FPV drone and have a lot of money to burn.
Yeah.
But if you are serious about getting into FPV drones, it's almost a rite of passage to build one, troubleshoot it, get it off the ground and learn to fly properly. Mm-hmm. And then you build a lot more respect for how to operate these aircrafts.
Yeah.
So I'm personally not going to be getting one.
The only time I could see it being useful is if you're trying to do commercial work with an FPV drone. Because the thing about if you try to do commercial work with a normal build it yourself FPV drone is you have to jump through so many hoops of like regulations and permits and like getting it checked and okayed by the government so you can actually fly it commercially. Mm. But I presume, I don't know this for sure, I'm just assuming that with this FPV drone, because they had to check all those boxes before they even release it to the public, it probably makes it so much easier if you want to try do commercial work, but that's it. That's about the only time I would see it being useful.
Yeah. Cause you can get the same perspective as an FPV drone, but it's certified for flying. And it's like, cause when you build your own drone, it could fall out of the air at any moment.
Yeah.
And it has.
And
I have had that happen before. So, I mean, having one that's certified by DJI means that there's a certain level of guaranteed factor. It's not going to fall out of the air and you're then able to kind of do some commercial work with it.
Yeah. But, Anyways, that's my thoughts.
I know it's interesting. I'm interested to see what, like, say the second and third generations of these drones are going to be, because it's the first and it's going to be, it's like the original Mavic when they had the folding up drone. It's like, it has all that hype and it has all, like, everyone's buying it because it's the first of its kind. But I can't wait until the camera gets better, until, like, everything kind of gets better on it and gets a bit more.
Yeah.
I don't
hopefully,
know.
Hopefully interested. Then maybe Gen 2, they can send one to us and I'd love to check it out.
Yeah. Hey, DJI, if you're listening.
I'd love to try one out. It's just, I'm not going to go out of the way and use my own money to buy one.
Yeah.
So anyways, it's that's interesting. Anyways, we're going to move on to basically the continuation of our story from last episode, which is where we went from the beginning of Battlefield 52 until present, all of our videos.
Yes.
And so when we started out at 52.
Yeah. So
what is out of 52?
Yeah. Oh, good question, Tommy. I was going to ask myself that same question. So for those of you who probably don't know, actually a lot of you probably don't know, we did up like, Out of 52 is basically a project that we did right after graduating from high school, where what we wanted to do, we all took a gap year. So we all took a year off school, and we wanted to make one film every week for an entire year. That was kind of our challenge, to basically push ourselves, try to get better at making videos and become YouTubers, hopefully, and probably try to make a name for ourselves. But, and the criteria was we had to make, it had to be posted by 12 PM on Monday, but the video could be about anything. There was no criteria about what the video had to be about. So then we were, I remember when we started, we had like three or four ideas in the bank.
Yeah.
But then, and then a bunch of people were like, so what are you guys going to do after those three or four ideas? And we're like, we don't know.
Good question.
Good question. Yeah. And hopefully, and thankfully, ideas just kind of came to us as we went along the way.
Except for, I mean, there was a certain point when things got a little rough.
Yeah, yeah. We'll get into that a little bit later. But there was a certain point when we were kind of like stressing for ideas and things weren't going best necessarily.
So,
yeah.
So basically our first episode in this series was, we called it Out of 52, which is basically the announcement of
and
us.
And I think, didn't we? Oh yeah. But then we also kind of abbreviated it eventually in the series to just /52. Cause as if you're doing a division, like out of 52.
Yeah. Pretty, so, pretty genius.
I know.
Exactly. And so that was basically our announcement video, which was 2 minutes and 28 seconds long. Like, it was basically saying like, we're going to be doing this. And that counted as one of our videos.
Yes.
Yep. Which is so already
idea one in the bag.
Yeah. So well, August of 2018, I think.
Yeah, August. I can find the exact date. I think it's August 21st.
Wow.
Something like that. Yeah, so then it moves on to, what are we going to make films about? So the first episode.
Well, actually, so in that episode, though, we said kind of like the criteria, like in Out of 52, we said, oh, we needed not an ultimatum, but we needed a
consequence.
A consequence for if we don't upload a video. Because there were times in the past when we said, hey, guys, we're going to try and go weekly or some maybe weekly-ish. And this was just because we'd have a like three or four ideas in the bank of like what we're going to make some films about, but we never ever stuck to it. We kind of just like maybe twice a week we kind of upheld, but
there's a big difference between doing like once a month and every single week is like exponentially harder.
It's about four times harder.
Exactly.
Yeah. So in that Out of 52 video, our kind of our announcement video, which is actually one of our like least viewed videos in the series, we made a consequence for ourselves, and that was if we don't upload a video on a Monday in our whole Out of 52 journey, we have to eat a ghost pepper. And if you don't know what a ghost pepper is, it's the hottest pepper in the world. And you have to basically, I don't know, it's very painful and not very enjoyable.
Well, we didn't have any of these things. And so to illustrate our point, we basically wanted to talk about how we're going to be growing. Like, we basically planted seeds into a pot in the video.
Yeah, yeah.
Said that we're going to be growing ghost peppers over this year. So then if we ever don't make it, hopefully we'll be near the end when we actually have some real ghost peppers that have been grown, but we're going to eat them.
Yeah.
Now, the funny thing is, though, that people don't realize is that we also didn't have ghost pepper seeds at the time. So we took bell pepper seeds, put them in the ground.
Yeah, so if you watch that video, there is a scene of us actually putting seeds into a pot and covering it with dirt and watering it. Those are straight bell pepper seeds.
We just threw out that
and
dirt.
And to be honest, we never planted ghost pepper seeds.
I know.
One, because we totally forgot, and two, because we were like, oh, we're never going to not.
Yeah, we were quite confident in ourselves that we were ever going to. But I did go out and try to buy. I did look for places to buy them just so we could actually kind of maybe uphold our promise of
if it ever came to that.
Yeah, if it ever came to that. And I remember I went to like one or two different places and they were like, what? What are you looking for? ghost pepper? No, we don't have any phantom pepper seeds.
I was like, okay, thanks, guys.
Yeah. So we kind of just, shortly after that, we kind of just gave up on the whole idea of actually going through with like trying to grow our own ghost peppers. If we ever did fail on our whole promise, I'm sure we would have found ghost peppers and actually upheld the promise of actually eating them, but we weren't going to grow them.
Yeah, exactly. So that was our first episode, which I mean, we had not even 10,000 subscribers in. I think we had just around 10,000 subscribers
around
then.
That.
Yeah. And so then,
well, if our last episode was called How We Got to 10,000 Subscribers, then yes, we had 10,000 subscribers.
We did have 10,000 subscribers then. And so we then moved on to the first real episode of Out of 52, which was meeting the front lines, the men and women who fight forest fires.
Oh, yeah.
This is one of those videos that a lot of people to this day still think is like their favorite, the one that we made.
Yeah, like, but if you notice, a lot of people who say that this is their favorite, it's the older demographic, mm-hmm. like moms and dads and uncle. Like, I know that our uncle thinks, he's like, oh, that was a really good video and he really enjoyed it. If you haven't seen this video, it's basically just a documentary where we go and try to investigative journalism of us going into a firefighting camp. Because if you're not familiar, in BC, which there's a lot of wildfires in British Columbia, during wildfire season, they have these camps set up where people just stay and they have helicopters around there. And so at any moment, and they're kind of in rural areas, so at any moment they can go to a wildfire that's in that area if one pops up and go put it out. Yeah, as soon as possible.
As soon as possible. So we knew that there was one close by where we lived, and we're like, we're going to go in there and just ask and see if we can go and interview some of the firefighters that
it was
are
very guerrilla kind of just super go in there
guerrilla.
And like just film. And we had zero agenda of what we were going to do or how we were going to get in
or
there,
even what questions we were going to ask.
And it's funny because we came up with this idea like the night before.
Well, it was because we were going to film a different video that involved
episode two or three.
Well, it was the drop bike video where we were going to climb a mountain, but it was so smoky where we live.
Right.
That we're like, oh, we can't do anything. And then like, what if we use the smoke?
Yeah. Cause it was smoky because of the wildfires. Yeah. And then we were thinking, what if we use the smoke from the wildfires to our advantage and make a film out of it? So then we came up with the idea of what if we went to these, like we did a piece or a video on wildfires and things like that. And then I remember the next day we're like, okay, let's start filming tomorrow. And what we did to start was just phone around everywhere we could, be like, hey, have you seen these camps anywhere? Have you seen these camps? Do you know where they're set up? Do you know? And we kept calling. We phoned like an A&W. We phoned like a grocery store. Finally, we got a lead. Someone's like, hey, I think they're just outside of Lumbee, which is a little town outside of Kelowna. And then we were like, perfect. And we just basically heard that on a rumor and got in our car and started driving. And that was it.
Yeah.
We had no plan. And so we got out there and then we just kind of asked at the front door. And then we went in there for kind of like a first initial thing. They're like, what are you guys doing? And we're like, we played the whole school card. Like, oh, we're high school students. Yeah. I mean, we were fresh out of high school. So we looked at the part. But so we just said, oh, we're in school and we just wanted to, I don't know, film this video. And we thought it'd be kind of interesting. They're like, oh, that's kind of cool. And then just said, okay, well, no one's here at the moment. None of these firefighters are at this camp because they're currently out fighting fires. And so basically said, oh, go, we'll give you a number and then we'll call you guys when to come back.
Yeah. And then it was going to be like a couple days later or something.
Yeah, exactly. And so we basically waited and then we got a phone call from this lady and she's like, oh yeah, you can come here and ask some questions. And then it was all fine and dandy. And that was our first episode of Attitude 2. But that one, the funny thing is that one took us like 2 weeks to make.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if this could be at all sustainable, we had to make these things in 1 week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like two weeks would not be sustainable.
Exactly. Well,
that was also one of the biggest like ideas that we ever executed for Out of 52. Like full mini documentary.
Our ambition was high. Gosh. Like we were ambitious.
Yeah. We had something that I like to call now called Out of 52 syndrome, which was like, we had our eyes set on this goal of like, we want to make a film every single week. We didn't care what it was going to take to get it done. Mm-hmm. And we literally put our heart and soul and blood and sweat into these videos and just devoted so much time and energy into them. And it was cool for the first couple, but it then kind of got to a point where it wasn't sustainable just to put so much time and effort into them.
It would be sustainable if you were doing like a month to month kind of thing.
Oh yeah. Once a month would be
trying to do weekly. There's no way you can be putting the kind of effort we were doing.
Yeah. This was like, we would be spending like 40 or 50 hours on one video in a week, which is already a full-time job.
And at the
same
time,
basically traveling, we'd drive out an hour here and an hour there to go interview these firefighters. And then later in a couple other videos, we're going out places and doing things that are like full on road trips for 1 week video. Oh. We can't do this every single week.
Oh, exactly. And I was going to say, at the same time, we all had part-time jobs. So I think it was like 3 days a week we had dedicated to filming TMS videos. And then we kind of have to work in the editing after our shifts at our job. So we had a full plate.
Yeah. I think it was, wasn't it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday was
TMS,
filming days. And that would be try to, when we get all of our filming done. And then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday was editing days, because we could edit kind of on our own and our, like, so we didn't have to be together to edit.
We learned.
Yeah, we learned. Exactly. We kind of smartened up after those other videos. So
yeah, but so we made that firefighting video, and I remember we edited that one together. Although we say like that we split up, we quickly developed a system of splitting up. Otherwise it would not be sustainable.
Yeah.
And then we then the next video came, which is taking a drop bike on a 1200 kilometer ride. That's what we called the video. And the whole thesis behind this video was it's very much like if you're in New York City, there's something called City Bike, which you rent a bike for a certain amount of time. You can ride it wherever you want and just drop it off.
Yeah.
In our city, there's something called Drop Bike, which is essentially the exact same thing. And what we want to do was take one of these drop bikes on the longest ride ever.
Yeah, it was one of those like Mr. Beast challenge type videos.
Exactly.
Like we were Mr. Beast before Mr. Beast was even a thing.
Exactly.
Come on. So Jimmy just stole our ideas.
So our idea was to take this drop bike, rent it, and we knew that the longest possible time you can rent a bike would be 48 hours.
Yeah, because we read like the terms and conditions of those bikes and like read the fine print. And in the fine print, because they say rent it for as long as you want and take it wherever you want because they're expecting you to keep it in a city.
Yeah.
And like maybe at most you'd have a 2-hour ride. But if you read the fine print, they say that if it's a ride that's longer than 48 hours, hours, then they will charge you for the total amount of the bike, which is around $500, I think it was.
And
so basically they fine you for taking it more than 48 hours.
And in 48 hours, the bike, obviously the bike starts within the city limit. And then within 48 hours, it didn't say anything about leaving the city limit, but at the end of the 48 hours, the bike had to be back inside the city limit.
Yeah, because so it had like geofencing kind of technology in it.
So
and also there's a brake on the bike so that if at any point it says, like, if it was one of those things where if you did go over your time, the back wheel would just lock up and it would be a useless bike.
Yeah.
So we basically, our idea was to take this bike, take it from Kelowna, and if you know BC geography, we were going to drive due east to a place called Cranbrook, which is about 5 hours away, climb up this 2,000-foot mountain.
No, yeah.
Summit this 2,000-foot mountain.
With the bike.
Take a photo of it and then hike it back down and get it back into Kelowna.
In 48 hours.
We were so ambitious.
We were ambitious.
This is not sustainable. To do this once a week, good luck.
Oh, exactly.
At the time, though, we loved it. We were hyped.
Exactly. We had out of 52 syndrome, as Mitchell says. We were just like blindly ambitious and just willing to do anything. Anyways, we head out there. We do it. We basically pull it off. The only thing we didn't do was actually summit the mountain because it was substantially
higher. Well, the reason for that is because we were like, this is easy. We're going to drive out there. Yeah. So by the time we got situated, got into the place where we're going to camp too, because we're cheap.
Yeah, we camped the night before.
We camped the night before because we're cheap as heck. So we got a tent or whatever. By the time we got set up and actually went to bed, it was like 2 o'clock in the morning. And if we were actually going to do it properly, we would have had to wake up at like 4 or 5 in the morning to start hiking and get to the top and then come back down in time so we could make it home. But we're like, this is easy. It's going to be such a little jaunt up the hill there. It's going to be no problem at all. Let's wake up at 9. Wake up at 9 and then have, I think we had eggs and bacon for breakfast. So that by the time we actually got
11 o'clock,
literally like 11 o'clock by the time we actually got to the place where we're going to start.
I was going
to
say the night before we get in at like 12 or 1 or something after getting totally lost on these like back mining roads.
Yeah.
In the mountains, we get in and we think it's a good idea to stay up even later and make a full steak dinner.
Yes, because on our way we stopped at the grocery store and we're like, what should we have for dinner? Let's have steak. Let's be bougie. So we literally had a full steak.
Oh.
We're living, but really, were we? Because we didn't get our video done.
Exactly. So we kind of take it up part of the way, and then we come back down.
Also, just to note, we strapped it to our back, and this thing was like 40 pounds or something.
40, exactly. 50 pounds at least.
Like, looking back at it now, we could have just gone, taken to Cranbrook, and that's it, and then driven back. Like, that would have been substantially easier, but no, we had to take it, like, beyond the limits. And so then, like...
On the way home, when we were driving home... We took our dad's truck on this whole journey. On our way home, the truck started having issues and it started doing this lurching thing. We were bouncing back and it wouldn't shift gears properly. And we're like, oh shit, here we go.
Yeah.
Just a cherry on top of this whole expedition.
Yeah, exactly.
Just to add another piece of, and also at the time we were in the whole boat of like, if anything goes wrong, it's good for the story, which is true to an extent. But if everything just keeps going wrong, it's not cool anymore. It gets to a point where you're like, this isn't fun.
Yeah, a series of unfortunate events.
So anyways, we got home.
And do you remember, as we're driving home, we hit an owl.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes. I remember that because I remember driving. I remember this vividly. I was the one driving, and then all of a sudden I see this like, kind of this flash, and I see this, and all of a sudden you hear doom, and then you hear this owl just literally hits the front of the car.
Feathers
like,
everywhere.
Literally, feathers all up in the so grill when we stopped and looked, and we were like,
No. The thing is, though, we didn't stop because we were going. I think
we were like 100 when we got back home.
Exactly. But we were going like 100, 110 because it was dark and we wanted to get home. So we're driving kind of kilometers. Fast. Yeah. Kilometers an hour.
Not miles.
That would be just absolutely ripping. But we hit this owl and I remember Mitchell's like, holy fuck, we just hit an owl. And I'm like, and he's like, should we stop? I'm like, no, there's nothing to go back to. Like, it's going to be pulverized feathers at the most.
What a sad thing to hit.
Like, I know. Been like I felt so bad.
A little pigeon.
I know. And it was this nice, like, I think it was like a gray, like not a gray owl.
But it wasn't big though. It was like kind of a small.
It was like,
small.
Yeah, young owl, like young. It was just starting out its life.
You
and then we literally tanked it with a car.
You could tell it had a nice personality.
Exactly. It just looks so kind.
Yeah. Oh God. Anyways,
that's it for that video.
Yeah. Well, the first two were just stupidly big.
Oh yeah. Stupidly big videos.
And then, so, I mean, as you can tell that these have no correlation in theme or anything like that.
And that was, again, that was our, like there was no criteria for videos, but it kind of, that kind of hurts us. I mean, I wanted to let's go into that later because it kind of hurt us. But the next video we did was Sam Calder on a Budget, which is where this is like one of those classics.
This is a classic where this is where we started the On the Budget series, which is a series that we kind of upheld for probably three or four more videos. A fun fact about this video, though, we uploaded it, I think, the 1 year to the day later from our Sam Calder analysis video.
Yeah. To the day. They're both
exactly a year apart from when we posted them. And that was completely unplanned.
They were both uploaded on October 1st.
Yeah. That's so nuts.
Yeah. The same exact day. And they both are about Sam Calder and they both absolutely popped off.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, basically we had the idea of like, what would it, cause Sam Calder travels all around the world and he does the most amazing experiences. And we're like, well, what would that look like if he was on a budget? Like, could we do that in our home little town here?
Yeah.
So, Steven got undressed. He got a little headband
off. Yeah.
And became Sam Calder.
He became the Sam Calder.
I have the same initials. SK.
Oh, Sam my
there you go. It was made to be.
But yeah, that one was huge. I don't think Sam ever commented on it.
He didn't comment on it, but I think he did. I think there was something like we kind of DM'd
Oh, his friend. What's his friend's
name? Oh, Jacob. He saw it and he, because we sent it to him on Instagram and he's like, oh, this is so funny. I'm going to send it to Sam. So we got some recognition.
I think he did end up seeing it. He probably just didn't comment because he didn't want to fuel our kind of like
escapades.
He didn't want to.
And so we did that. I mean, that was a good video.
It was like when I saw, this is like where we did like the classic thing of like, we turned Steven's van to the helicopter and that kind of thing. A bunch of people, I remember, were big fans of that move.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, people love that. And then after that, I mean, this entire thing is us just doing like basically any video we can think of. So there was no theme.
Yeah. So the next video right after that was making a knife from a shipwreck, which again is like, what? And then we did a video about our YouTube banner. That was a bit more on theme for filmmaking and photography related. And then we did sold the iPhone 4 for $700.
This is
the cringiest video ever. Don't go back and watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the next most notable video would be the Oregon, like first episode of us going to Oregon. Cause this was kind of our first ever traveling.
Yeah. Because we didn't have school to go to. So we were like, hey, we want to go traveling in our year off. This would be awesome. So then going to Oregon was kind of our first. Yeah.
And having literally no money, we decided we were going to go to Oregon and then stay in the cheapest possible hotels.
Yeah.
And Motel 6.
Do you remember a little side note here? We wanted to save money and not get food out. So we brought like a camping grill.
Yes, a camping stove.
We set it up in the hotel room. There was no kitchen in there, no kitchenette. And we started cooking eggs in the morning inside the room.
We were so crafty, but I'm pretty sure we would have gotten in big, big trouble if they found out.
Like a little, what was it, propane? Little propane
it was a propane stove. Camp stove. We were on the ground floor, so we opened the window and we just started, because the way we got into the hotel room is that we had to walk past the reception, which could look really sketchy if we walk in there with a big camp stove. So we are on the ground floor. So we get our car, grab the camp stove, and just hand it through the window. And
set it up.
right. And we're making eggs, we're making bacon, we're making literally everything under the sun.
Wow.
Yeah, we were just like chefing it up. And so we did that. That Oregon was a fantastic trip. It was
I really enjoyed that a lot. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. So we did two videos from that. Because we did the first episode, then we did
another one. Basically,
no, I think we did three or four, didn't we?
From what I can see here, there's only two.
Oh, no, yeah,
there is three.
And we, there's three. Yeah, they're all vlogs.
Yeah, they're all vlog style because we went to Indian Beach in Oregon. We also went to
Haystack Rock.
Haystack Rock, Abiqua Falls, which are all classic places. If you ever go to Oregon, make sure you go there. They're
if you ever go to Oregon, make sure you go to Abiqua Falls. It is breathtaking. It's this crazy waterfall that you have to kind of hike to. It's kind of hard to get to, but if you do make it there, it's really, really cool.
Yeah. So those are all fantastic videos, and that kind of got our travel fix. And we didn't really do, I mean, after that, it was all just very miscellaneous videos at that point, because we did a few, like we did another Sam Colder one. Well, we broke down one of those transitions.
This was one of those ones where, like, one of our kind of the things that we didn't want to do during this whole Out of 52 thing was make tutorials, because at the time we viewed tutorials as being kind of a cop out. We didn't want to turn into a tutorial channel and be like, so we kind of, there wasn't a criteria to making for what kind of what the videos could be about, but we kind of just said to ourselves, we're like, hey, we would prefer to not do tutorials because we think that's kind of a cop out for a weekly.
Yeah, it's like a personal decision.
Yeah.
But I don't even think, because we made one video, which was the Sam Colder handshake split screen thing. So we did this one effect in his China.
That was an additional video.
Yeah, though. No, yeah, exactly.
We
that's
made
what
a
I was going to say.
Videos
yeah, week. So that was a midweek video because we, for some reason, felt we had time.
Yeah,
then.
How were we doing
I don't
that?
Know. Yeah, there was a time when we thought, like, we were doing one video a week, but we also, for a little
sparsely, uploaded a few tutorials in midweek.
Yeah, exactly. So we did probably three or four or five videos midweek.
Yeah, so we did.
Interesting.
Yeah, so we did a bunch of these miscellaneous videos because we then did, making a ski edit with a laptop webcam. I always thought that one never got as many views as it should.
I know that one. I always found that was very funny and interesting.
Yeah,
and
but
like and a then, unique idea.
Yeah. And so we did that one. There was also Peter McKinnon on a budget, which is our next on the budget one. Peter McKinnon commented on it, which is
thank
cool.
you, Peter.
Kind of cool. Yeah, kind of cool.
Yeah. So this video was just basically on the budget version of Peter McKinnon. So basically, Mitchell here. I dressed up as Peter because I also had long hair at the time, and Peter also had long hair at the time. And then we did a bunch of spoofs on like the way he says like, what's up guys, Peter McKinnon, did a bunch of things about that. We did some spoofs about his like love for coffee and like all his B-roll and things like that. So that was a funny video.
But all of those on a budget ones always did like 10 times better. Than
they were clickable as ever. Like, and they also kind of directly related themselves to a creator who's already on YouTube.
Exactly.
Wasn't us.
Yeah, we were kind of siphoning a little bit of fame off.
Well, because that's one of those things is like, basically the one thing that we kind of like, we liked about this whole thing is that we had a video that could be about whatever we want. But the one main thing that I think was our detriment is that we had no consistent theme. Mm. There was no theme on what these videos were. So we were never able to build a consistent audience because we never did filmmaking content. We never did anything that you could
we didn't put ourselves into a niche.
Exactly.
Would have like, been nice
if you,
to do.
Back then, if you were to say, talk about our channel, you would never be able to describe it in one sentence. Because if someone asked, hey, what kind of videos do they make? You could be like,
travel lifestyle.
Yeah, because we made a video about how to make a knife from a shipwreck. Yeah. There's one. Yeah. And then we made a video about Peter McKinnon.
Yeah.
And then we made a video about like
a forest fire documentary.
Forest fire documentary. Like it was very kind of very
skiing,
sporadic like, all over the place.
I mean, they were all well produced videos, but the actual storyline of them never lined up from one to another. Yeah. So people could never kind of get themselves invested into what we were doing and kind of pick a niche so we could actually build an audience.
The other problem with it too is it made it way harder to come up with ideas. Because if like say like TMS Now is mostly like, okay, related to film, you can think of like a bunch of ideas just related to the topic of filmmaking. But when you have unlimited
ideas,
like you could do a video on anything. It's almost too much to choose from, and it makes it really hard to come up with something.
Yeah, like so a little constraint is nice. Yeah.
Exactly. Some creative like boundaries are always a fantastic thing. So, and because I mean, we made these videos and we kind of like we're making videos about whatever we want, and then we kind of get to around the time when Tommy went to Europe.
Yes.
Yeah. So Tommy with a couple of friends went on a Europe trip.
And this was probably, I was going to say that this is probably one of the darkest times of Out of 52. Like one of the times that we're kind of like,
this is when it was the hardest.
This was like the late 30s, I think. So we had like another 20 something episodes to go.
Yeah. We were just over halfway.
And you were like, and it kind of hit us how much more work we had to do in the series without like missing an upload. But yeah, I went on a trip to Europe with my friends, which was a great time. But as well, I agreed to do two videos while I was in Europe, and Stephen and Mitch were going to do a couple videos at home.
Well, Tommy was going to be away for about a month, which meant we had to do four videos when Tommy was away. So me and Stephen and I said, we'll do two and you do two. Yeah. And then that's four. And then you should be back.
Yeah. And I mean, for me in Europe, it was really hard because I was traveling around like TMS style, like absolute bottom of the barrel places or staying at, like, not eating very much. I got really sick. I went to the hospital in Italy. That was fun.
Yeah. Actually, go into that story a bit because that's interesting. I haven't heard this actually in great depth.
Well, I mean, I really didn't have to go to the hospital. It was very dramatic. Oh, sure.
Just walk it off, buddy.
But and I'm kind of a tough guy. No, but yeah, I was staying in Milan with a friend of mine's friend, and it was in this tiny little apartment. And I don't know if anyone knows Milan very well, but it's not my favorite city. I'm sorry, Milan. Like, it's a cool city, but all the apartments, at least that I saw, were really small. And it just turned out that me and my two friends just had to sleep kind of on the floor in the living room. And at the time, we were traveling between a bunch of different places. We weren't really taking breaks or eating properly. So I got really sick, like the other two guys. And then
they also get sick?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, they did. I didn't know.
So Ben got sick first. Ben was sick all throughout Paris, like horrible time. And then Quinn got sick right after I got sick.
Was it just like cold kind of sick, or what kind of sickness was it?
Ben might have had strep throat.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's serious.
We went to Venice, Italy, and we were walking around, and Ben literally just, the whole time we were just looking for a doctor for Ben in Venice.
Wow.
And we didn't find one. And we didn't speak Italian. So anyway, that's back to Milan though. Anyway, I was super sick at the time. And then it was like 4 a.m. and I get up to go to the bathroom and I'm stepping over everybody else that's sleeping on the floor. And the bathroom's like all marble and the floor is tile. And I go and wash my hands. And I have that feeling where you're like, oh no, like I'm not in control. I'm about to fall over.
Whoa, really?
And, yeah. So I was like totally lost it. And then I just unlocked the bathroom door, opened it a crack. And then I just turned, did a 180, like fell backwards, did a 180, and just landed right on my face on the concrete, on the tile floor.
In the bathroom.
Whoa. And then, and then I was out, right? And I came to, and there was like faces all over me. And they're like, there was like six people all over me, and someone's holding my legs up. And then they're like, oh, and they don't really speak English.
Do you have any idea how long you were out?
It was a couple minutes. It was a couple minutes.
So it wasn't like hours. Yeah. You were sitting there alone because no one knew.
Yeah. And at the time I just had a high fever and like no energy. And I was just trying to crank out this TMS video at the same time.
Oh, dear.
My friends are going out to like play soccer in the park. I'm like, no guys, I got to edit. And I mean, that's out of 52 for you.
Yeah, exactly. Out of 52 syndrome. Right.
Anyway, they got like a doctor to come in and to look at me. And I couldn't really speak Italian at all. And they were like, you got to go to the hospital. I was like, I'm okay. I'm okay, but like healthcare was free in Italy. So, and I had travel insurance. So I was like, you know what? Sure. So I got an ambulance. I went in an ambulance. They carried me down the stairs and then I waited at the Italian hospital for 8 hours. And then they looked at me and they were like, yeah, you're fine.
What? So it was just a little field trip, really.
Yeah. Yeah. Me and my friend Ben, we just had to wait in the waiting room.
But you got to see the Italian healthcare system.
It was good, but it all depended on like how loud, I'm not kidding. Like this sounds like I'm stereotyping, but it was like how loud and how prominent you were.
Really?
And who bought the healthcare next? They had this whole like armband thing, like, oh, green is like, you're pretty good, so we'll see you later. Yellow is like, okay, kind of severe. Red is like, we got to get you in right away. I was like a green. So like no one just cared. And I was like a nice, polite Canadian. We were just sitting there waiting my turn. And then everyone else would just like go up and like be like, oh, come on. Like, I need help now. I need help now.
And they're
then,
like, come right here,
and then
sir. They'd
get, and then I was there for just 8 hours in the corner. And then it wasn't until our Italian friend came in and he did that exact thing. He's like, he needs to be seen now. He's been here for 8 hours, blah, blah, blah.
Really?
And then they're like, okay, right this way. Oh my God.
You could have just done that 7 hours ago.
Yeah, literally. Anyway, so that was my Europe trip and it was a lot of fun. But so two out of 52 videos done. And then you guys made a couple at the same time.
Yeah. So we finished it. No, we still didn't miss a video, which was, I mean, miraculous to say the least. But when we got back, we kind of had this kind of meeting because we were then planning our next video together. So Tommy came over and I think there was this one time we're kind of like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck are we doing? Like, this is the way that we're doing this is just impossible.
It's
like to sustain
hard and like not enjoyable anymore.
Exactly. So we were kind of hitting our heads against the walls trying to come up with ideas and all this kind of stuff, and we just couldn't figure out what we wanted to make videos about because we kind of felt like they had to be big, grandiose, crazy ideas, which is a huge detriment if you're trying to do this weekly. And then so we kind of said at that point we're kind of like, what we're going to do is we're going to like dial it back, and we're going to like, we don't care what happens, we're just going to kind of deal with the or have the use shoot the ideas that we felt were the best ideas.
Yeah.
Kind of.
So like even more, like this is also where we kind of decide to do, like try to at least do a system where we did kind of like 1 week would be kind of like a vlog esque kind of easier video. And then then every other week would be a bigger idea. So exactly. It would kind of alternate between a vlog and a big video. And it's funny because we said this expecting people to really care. But if you think about it, and we had what, probably 16,000 subscribers at the time. Nobody cared what we were doing. They just liked our content.
As long as we uploaded, they were probably happy.
Well, if anything, the vlogs did better.
Yeah.
Because it kind of showed who we were more. It kind of had ideas that were kind of linking together in a rough, more kind of cohesive way.
Yeah.
And so I think it kind of helped us in a sense of like, it actually came, we were able to have ideas that were kind of narrowing into a niche. Mm-hmm. Cause that's when we did, one of the first vlogs we did was recreating a Sam Kolder drone shot. Once again, Sam Kolder, our golden ticket here. But that video popped off, and that was just a video of us flying a Mavic Air through my legs.
Yeah.
That was it.
That was all it was. I mean, it wasn't anything crazy.
Well, because Steven and I had kind of, we analyzed Sam Kolder's style, but how he did those precision flying shots before FPV was a big thing. Sam Kolder would always do these precision flying shots where he'd fly this Mavic Air through like crazy gaps.
Impossibly tiny spots.
And we said, I can do that too.
Yeah.
So we went out, got a Mavic Air, we got it used too, so it wasn't nearly as expensive.
Well, if we broke it, it wasn't going to be like the end of us.
It was going to be the end of the world. So we got it used. And then like, we were like, if he can do it, I can too. So then me and Steven kind of just spent a little bit and kind of just flew it around and finally got used to actually like plowing it through these tiny little gaps. And like, we got pretty good at like sending it through trees and sending it through tiny, like between Steven's legs.
Exactly. Like a pretty small area. And then, so that was basically a vlog we did of that. And that one did really well. And we're kind of like, I mean, it had Sam Kolder in the title in it, which of course is given.
Yeah. It was a given. It was going to do well.
Exactly. And so
it was also like way easier to make though.
Oh, but
we went out, we shot it.
Yeah. We shot that in a morning we woke up at sunrise, shot it probably within 3 or 4 hours and we were done.
We weren't camping overnight, calling every firefighting place.
Exactly. Most videos before this would take at least 2, if not 3 days to film.
Yeah.
So it was like a total game changer for us.
Exactly. So, we kind of wanted to tone it back, but also have more like
personality
was the biggest thing. And I think that's why that did well. So we then went into Tofino, which was kind of our next trip of us. Like,
this was a big sponsored trip by MusicBed, because MusicBed reached out and said, hey, we want to make a video. And originally we're going to be, can we go into specifics of how much they were going to offer us?
Let's maybe steer clear.
They were going to offer us an amount.
Yes.
And then, and they said, we want to make a video. And we said, sure. And they said, what if you guys did Casey Neistat on a budget?
Well, cause they knew that the only videos from us that actually did well were the on the budget series.
Exactly. So they were like, hey, what if we do a Casey Neistat on a budget? And we said, that's a great idea.
Every opportunity we took to be able to travel.
Exactly. So what they said, we're going to offer you this amount of money. And then we said, okay, cool. But what if, because they were expecting us to say, make this video at home and just kind of produce this small little video and post it and be done with it. But we said, no, we want to go big. So then we said, what if we went traveling with the money and we took it traveling and made this video on the road? And they said, okay, cool. So then our manager kind of pitched and said, okay, can we maybe get a pitch to MusicBed? Hey, can we get a bit more money? So we ended up getting, I think it was like double or triple the amount that they offered us originally, which was quite phenomenal, actually. Like just for asking, exactly. Yep. So we asked and got 3 times the amount of money that we were looking for, and then we're like, perfect, this is awesome. So let's go to Tofino, let's film it, and then we told them we're gonna film this video when we go traveling and whatever.
Exactly. So we make, so I mean, this banged out 3 videos from Out of 52 because
it's funny, we did
Casey and I Sat on a Budget, which was the main sponsored video, but we also did 2 videos of us actually going to Tofino and vlogging our experience.
Vlogging,
because we were never going to let anything like this not be content for our YouTube channel.
Exactly. You just got to juice as much content for you as you
exactly
can.
Exactly. So we go to Tofino, it was a fantastic time. We had a little bit more money, so we were able to kind of like stay in some nicer places. We stayed in Tofino, which was really nice.
Yeah, in an Airbnb, mm-hmm. and like, kind yes. of like did. And our original idea was to actually like rent a, do a helicopter trip in Tofino and
right.
go on yes. this little helicopter tour. Unfortunately, the weather was really bad and it was really overcast and like
it was foggy. It was super
really
foggy.
That's what it was. And so then we had to cancel, unfortunately. But it's funny because out of that whole trip, we like we did all the traveling, made all these vlogs or whatever. Very little was used in the Casey Neistat on a budget video.
Yeah.
Like probably it would probably ended up like out of the Casey Neistat on a budget video, which is 13 minutes long. Probably about 2 minutes of it was actually in Tofino. The rest of it was filmed at home. So we really could have done the whole thing at home, but we just kind of really just played it up that we wanted to go traveling and
use it as an excuse.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is then us doing more vlog type and we started leaning into more of like what a typical filmmaking creator would do, where they do like what's in our camera bag and these kind of videos. So we did a video like that, which was nice because it kind of, these videos were ones that gave us a break.
Yeah,
we were
able to a bit of breathing room.
We were able to film these videos in like, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours, edit them in another 3 or 4 hours, and we had the entire week to kind of like, I don't know, decompress, come up with better ideas, let the creative juices refill before deplete them again.
Yeah.
And this is like what everyone else kind of in the filmmaking genre, they were just making these kind of videos every single week.
Yeah.
We were out here being extra, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Going,
and like, that's we weren't necessarily seeing the return on investment really wanted. So
yeah,
at the end of the day, it wasn't really worth it. Something to note about the Casey Neistat on a budget video though, is that at the end, because it was sponsored by Musicbed, they're like, hey, we want to do a contest.
Oh, right.
Right.
Oh, no.
So because so yeah, this is so funny. So we, they paid us the money to do the trip and we went traveling and did that. And then they're like, oh, we also have two year long memberships to Musicbed that we wanted you guys to give out as a contest on either your YouTube or your Instagram. And we said, awesome, cool. This will increase engagement and get people active and whatever. So then at the end of the video, we pitched the idea for the contest, which was you had to make a video, a 30 to 60, 90 second video for Instagram of you imitating your favorite creator.
Oh boy.
Thinking that would be a good idea. Now, we had the contest open for 2 weeks.
Yep.
Zero submissions. Absolutely no one did it. Because in retrospect, when hindsight is 20/20, we realized we were asking way too much. Mm-hmm. We were asking people to put themselves out there, get in front of the camera, imitate their favorite creator.
All for $100.
All for something that was worth about $120 at the end of the day. And we asked them to post it to Instagram, which I would never post anything like that to my personal Instagram. Absolutely not.
It might have been better if like we provided them with footage of the video.
If they just edited it.
Cut it in the Casey Neistat style or something. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
But so that wasn't it.
It was pretty. So we just ended up resorting to doing a classic Instagram giveaway where they follow us and Musicbed at the same time. And then we just choose someone that followed us and just say, here you go.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was kind of embarrassing because we got zero turnout for the contest.
With 20,000 subscribers.
We had 20,000 subscribers, and the video itself in that first week when people should have seen it got like
70,000 views.
Yeah, 70,000 views, meaning out of the 70,000 people that saw it, not a single person was willing to do that.
And that was the only video I think we made about someone where the person we made it on never actually responded. And
It was funny because in that video, we at the end, we knew that because that was around the time that Casey Neistat was moving from New York City to LA.
Yeah.
And so we said that in that video, we asked him like, if there's any possible
Casey,
way.
Casey, if you're watching this.
Yeah, Casey, if you're watching this, if there's any possible way that we could come to your studio for like 2 minutes just to see it before you leave, that would basically be life changing.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is though, we asked this, huge ask, enormous thing for him to follow through
and take time out of his day for us to come to New York City, step into
his
studio
while
he's in the middle of moving and has a whole entire,
and he wasn't even uploading videos then. No. That was in his like time when he took time off to move.
Yeah.
And we're kind of like, and so, I mean, we were naive at that time, but looking back on it, I was thinking like, of course he didn't comment on it because we asked such a huge thing and there's no possible thing he could say respectfully that would be like, you can't come.
Yeah, without being torn apart by other people. Because if Casey Neistat said, hey, unfortunately, I'm moving and I don't think I'll have enough time and I don't think it's a good idea, people in the comments are just going to light him up.
Yeah.
And people will be like, what the heck? Casey Neistat, these boys are literally just putting their heart and soul out there and you're not going to respect that?
I was just going to say, he couldn't also just comment on it and say great video because then it's like, you're ignoring their whole request,
Casey. Yeah, exactly.
Casey.
I bet you he probably did see it at the end of the day. It's just, he decided not to comment because he's like, I don't know what
to
comment.
We're just idiots and we're getting a little greedy.
But it's funny because these on the budget videos, we knew that we knew that the creators that we were spoofing in these videos were going to see it. So we kind of use it as a kind of a direct line of communication to them.
Not a good look for us.
A, not a good look. And B, we were asking way too much. Yep. Like, we should just tone it down a bit, mind our own business, and stay in our own lane. Yeah.
Like, usually if you want to interact with someone that's a lot more popular than you, the best way to go about it is to offer something to them, not ask for something from them.
One of the key things to be able to work with one of your favorite creators is offer them immensely more value than they get from you.
Yeah.
Because like, sure, we could have gone to Casey Neistat's studio, but what does that bring Casey?
It doesn't, nothing.
It takes time out of his day and is just a massive inconvenience.
Exactly.
And for us, we get to see Casey Neistat's studio, which
we get to meet him as well. And you know, sure as shit, it ain't gonna be just 2 minutes.
No.
He's not gonna bring us in for 2 minutes, start the clock, be like, okay, you guys got 2 minutes to look around. Okay, cool, you're done. Yep. See you later. And that's it.
Exactly.
He knew full well, and we should have known full well. And it was obvious that it was gonna be a full blown event.
I mean, if we had the money and resources, we could be like, hey, dude, we're doing a Doors Off helicopter tour through New York City and we want to skydive and do some crazy thing. He'd probably be like, yeah, I'd entertain the idea because that's fun for him and something that he gets value.
Yeah.
From.
So when the creator can get value out of it as well, it doesn't have to be exposure or like, because also if say we were managed to get into Casey's vlog, we would get tons of exposure, get everything right. And it'd be so much more valuable for us. But even if you can't offer exposure, offer something that like
an experience,
something that they can't refuse. So say, hey, I'm doing this. Do you want to come? Or like,
I could offer your services. Like, could you make a logo for them? Are you good at sound?
Yeah,
like, whatever.
Exactly. So I mean,
just offer something.
We could go into a whole podcast about this whole thing from what we've learned in this whole ecosystem, but we will move on because I mean, you could dive into this subject for a while on game plans on how to work with your favorite creator. And then, so I want to move on to basically the next video, which is probably one of the most pinnacle videos of our channel, which is how to fly a drone like Sam Colder.
Mm. Yes.
Another Sam Colder video.
I know, it's another Sam Colder video. This is our most popular video ever.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It just recently, I think like 3 or 4 weeks ago, hit 1 million views.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
Insane.
And this video was basically us taking your Mavic Air and flying it like Sam does through these tiny little spaces.
And making a video about how to do that.
Yeah.
This video popped off.
I remember seeing the graph and it literally looked like a wall.
Yeah.
We posted it and it took, I think within 24 hours, it was at like 24,000, 30,000 views in 24 hours. And that was absurd for us. Like at the time in 24 hours, our videos were probably getting around 1,000 views.
Maybe 1,000 views.
And we had 24 times that.
I remember I was working at this like department store where I worked at, and I kept going to the back and just refreshing the video and seeing the views go up, and it would be like when it really hit its stride, it would be like up by like 5,000 views every like half hour I went to check. It was just ridiculous.
Exactly. And what Mitchell means when he says they basically hit a wall is like in the YouTube studio app.
What I meant is like it looks like a wall where the line is going straight.
No, exactly.
That's what I mean.
Because in the YouTube studio app, they have this little graph that shows the videos you get every hour. So these little bars start showing up. And then when your video pops off or hits the algorithm, you see all these bars that are like, say, 10 views in the hour, 10, 10, 20, maybe 15, 20, around that average. And then all of a sudden, there's 1 hour when it hit like 1,200 views in the hour, and the line just goes straight to the moon, pretty much.
Yeah.
Like crazy.
I know. And that's when you know that YouTube has picked up your video and is now offering it to other people.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So it like that video did so well, and that basically got us 10, it got us 1,800 subscribers in a day.
Yeah.
1 day,
which is kind of nuts. Cause that basically like that and was,
yeah,
we had what 20, we, cause we went from 22,000 subscribers to 30 by the end of basically another 4 videos in that time, but mostly fueled by that one video.
Yeah.
So that was absolutely nuts.
Pretty ridiculous. And then we had a couple more videos lined up, and then it was the final of, so finally we had reached the end, and this was, and we're thinking, okay, we need a big final because if we're going to end this off, we got to end it off with a bang. And I would say the video that we came out with at the end was perfect. It was a perfect finale because
love it.
I forget how we came up with the idea, but we were like, we need a good idea for the final video. And we did. We basically did a little, it was like a short film kind of video about as if people were talking about us in the future, about talking about us, about what happened in the
around,
past.
Like, yeah, what you'd say around a campfire.
Yeah, so telling the story of Teamus Productions around the campfire. So then we had our friends be kind of like the actors, and they opened up, cracked open this big book, and they're like, the legend of TMS Productions. And it was basically going through kind of like, it was like a highlight of the year, but it was told in this really unique way, which I was like, man, we did a good job coming out with that idea.
Yeah, that video was, I was very proud with that video. And when we released that video, we had, I mean, some of our friends got together and they organized a viewing party, which was, I was
so appreciative because I was like, that meant like, wow, people actually watch our videos. Like, they actually care about what we make.
And it was actually like people that, like people we'd known, but I wouldn't necessarily say we were tight with.
Yeah, they're more like acquaintances.
Yeah, and they were like, guy. And then I remember just one day, this thing popped in my phone. It was a Facebook event invite. And it said, you were invited to the TMS Productions final episode viewing party.
Yeah.
And I remember looking at that and being like, what?
Yeah.
People actually care?
There's such a big difference. Like just seeing like, you know, numbers online, like, oh, so-and-so liked my video. But when you have a whole group of friends or that are actually there that support you, it takes it to another level.
So we went to this viewing party and there was like 20 or 30 people.
Yeah, that's a lot of people.
Like all packed in this tiny little townhouse.
Before Corona. Before COVID.
I remember looking around watching the video because I've seen the video 100 times as we're making it. So as we're watching it, all I'm doing is watching everybody else.
Yep.
I'm not even watching the video because I've seen it, right?
Yeah.
And then so I see this and everyone's watching it and laughing when they're supposed to laugh and kind of smiling. And I'm like, this is incredible. Like, holy cow.
Yeah.
What?
And just to note, to end off that video, we ended up booking that helicopter tour that we were going to do in Tofino. We decided to do it in our hometown, Kelowna. And we went on a nice sunrise helicopter ride.
That was
in
crazy.
Suits.
That was, in suits. Because we're like, let's do it.
Open
we're gonna be
door.
Baller. Yep. Open door in suits. It was freaking baller, and that was so much fun.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was a great way to end it off. And then, that was the end of Attitude 2. I mean, that was a success. At that time, we had, I think, 30,000 subscribers was basically what we had. And so when we finished Attitude 2, we took a month off because we kind of really needed the break and kind of like to kind of recoup.
Something to note is that
juices.
In this 1 month off that we took, the Sam Colder drone flying video that we made, like popped off, and we ended up gaining in this month that we never posted a single video. We ended up gaining like 2,000 subscribers in that 1 month.
Yeah.
And I remember being like, wow, this is easy. Like we left with like 38K, came back with 40, and we're like, oh, this is awesome.
Yep. Yep.
After Out of 52, we took a month off and then we just kind of used that time to kind of recuperate, get things, I don't know, get relaxed and kind of enjoy life.
Take a break before
we kind of hit the road again. And then we come back. And then at this point we kind of knew that we needed to kind of narrow down to a niche.
Yeah.
So that's where we kind of really turned into what people know of us today, where we're filmmaking type content.
Well, at the time we were at 30 or 40,000.
We said that 3 or 4 times now. We were at 30,000 subscribers.
Okay. Well, we were at 30,000 or 40,000 subscribers. And then, but we're now at whatever it is, 130,000.
Yeah. Meaning we have 100,000 more people from after Out of 52. So a majority, I always think Out of 52 is like, be like, people know us from Out of 52 and that's where a big chunk of our audience is. But if you think about it, very little,
it's very
small percentage. So
yeah. So the first video back is us making a video about the analytics of our channel for that, basically the year of us making videos.
Yeah.
And that video did well, did all right.
I remember this time it was like our videos weren't doing the best because we'd taken a bit of time off of YouTube.
Yeah.
So we'd post them and they weren't getting the growth that we were expecting.
I was just going to say, I think we came back with the idea that, okay, maybe we should start doing more tutorial.
Yeah, exactly.
Just teaching.
Exactly. Cause that's what basically, cause we did a video about how to team edit and like editing drone videos. And it's also at this time that Tommy went to film school.
Yes. Which I went to a different city, like 6 hours away.
Exactly.
Yeah, which complicated our shooting.
Exactly.
For sure.
So the whole schedule for that was that me and Mitchell would do three videos a month.
Yeah.
And then Tommy would do one video a month because it was all just him. And then, but it was going to be easier then because we were going to stick more closer to doing tutorials and videos that were more in a niche. We had better, more consistent ideas of what to make videos
about.
Exactly.
So then someone could actually subscribe to us and know what they're going to get next week.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So we made a few color grading videos and then basically the most notable video from then, which is kind of like in that time, was the FPV drone video. Cause that was it was right at the end of Attitude 2 that we kind of like, I started seeing these clips of these crazy drones and Sam Colder got one. And I was like, these are cool. We should get one. And so we did. And that the whole process of us buying that drone and getting it into the air took about a month, which I mean, most people don't realize, but the actual time of us building it, flying it and all that kind of stuff actually took a week. Like, although we said learning to fly a cinematic.
Wait, it actually took a week or a month?
I'm just saying ordering all the parts.
Yeah.
Took about a month and everything to get everything together about a month.
Okay, yeah.
And then actually putting it together, flying it and learning to fly it took about a week.
Yes.
So,
and,
I mean,
that's when we made a video called Learning to Fly a Cinematic FPV Drone in 1 Week.
Exactly. And that video did really well. Cause I guess I mean, I really want to make that more of like a film in a way, because I put a lot of effort into the editing and like really made it something that's good with a solid story. And people really resonated with that.
There's a lot of comments on the video that people are like, man, the editing in this is crazy.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I was so proud of that because I spent so much time editing that. And then we uploaded that video and I look back at it now and all the stuff I did in that video, I just cringe at because of how dangerous.
We could do an entire podcast on FPV drones alone, which we might do in the future. So stuff I keep did. An eye out for that. But so it was one of those things that it just kind of,
One of my main tips if you want to start YouTube is stick to a niche. Cause it was at this time that we uploaded these videos. Our channel just started growing substantially faster than before, because we started doing the FPV drone video. Then we did Wish Film Gear, which was another great video that we did. Then we did other drone content and more filmmaking style content. And we were building an audience quickly, and people liked the videos that we were making.
Yeah.
And then we come to Headed West.
Yes. Headed West was a big, the way this all came about actually was Aiden Robbins, who's a fellow filmmaker and YouTuber. He came to us and said, "Hey guys, I want to make a video and I'm going to team up with Epidemic Sound. I wanted to see if you guys wanted to do it too." And we said, "Sure, like absolutely. Of course we want to do a video." And he said, "My idea is to go to the Pacific Northwest," because he's from the
South Carolina.
From South Carolina, so southeast of the United States. Yeah. So he wanted to come to the Pacific Northwest, and we live kind of up near the Pacific Northwest of the United States. So we said, "Sure, let's do this. It'd be awesome." And then Epidemic Sound then came to us, and they said, "Hey, do you guys want to make a video as well?" So then eventually, when everything was all said and done, like Aiden was going to make a video, we were going to make a video, we were all going to go on a trip to the Pacific Northwest for 1 week and just kind of film it and make two videos out of it. And then we came up with the crazy idea of, let's do a fully first person travel film.
So we took the Blackmagic pocket cinema camera, big camera, and a motorcycle helmet, and combined the two so we can now strap the Blackmagic onto our face and basically see in first person.
Yeah.
Which is absolutely nuts. So we had a super ultra wide angle lens and a focus puller and all this extra kind of video transmitter.
Yeah, because the main thing we wanted was for it to look cinematic and be like from cinema camera quality. We didn't want to like throw a GoPro on your face and call it good, because we wanted that depth of field, and we wanted to be able to choose focus so that we had a full like focus pulling system, and it was this very elaborate contraption.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So that can also be a whole nother episode.
I know, we can make a whole video on that.
These are all just like great ideas. And then we then move on to another thing that basically a lot of people know us from, which is our photo battles.
Yeah.
So we started off doing the drone photo battle, which actually it kind of flopped.
I know. Like, it was our first episode and it kind of didn't do that well. Mm-hmm.
The one that really set us on to basically doing photo battles that people really liked was the indoor photo battle, where we did like indoor B-roll photo battle.
Yeah, it was the in quarantine. The where is that here?
Wow, COVID's been going on for a long time.
COVID's been going on for a year, almost a year exactly, in 10 days will be.
In Canada.
In Canada, at least.
Exactly. That's when everything shut down.
Wow.
And so that video blew up, and basically then that kind of came up with us to, we should do more photo battles. And so we did. And like, I mean, these are all now kind of.
Well, and the thing about a photo battle is the reason it was such a good idea for us is because there's three of us, and it's one of those things where you can't necessarily make a photo battle if you have a YouTube channel on your own. Like, if you're a solo YouTuber, filmmaking YouTuber, you can't make a photo battle unless you bring your other friends in or bring in other people. But for us, it was perfect. We all three of us were here and we could do it. Made it really easy to pull off a photo battle.
And now, before people go start saying that, "Oh my God, you think that you created this idea on your own?" Yes, we took the idea from Hayden Pedersen.
It's a good idea.
It is a fantastic idea. And also, he doesn't trademark that idea. He did it.
Yeah, right? We just saw the opportunity and said, "Hey, this looks fun. Let's try it."
If anything, you guys get more photo battle content from two drastically different.
Exactly. There's two different views. We don't go out there saying this was our idea. This is like, we're making this.
And they're made differently than Hayden's as well. Like, obviously it's the same concept, but we put our own spin on it. And
exactly. Yeah. And also, we're not strictly photographers. Like, we're photo video, mostly video, if you're to really think about it. But I mean, he is an insane photographer. Like, his photos are literally art, where ours is more like we take a camera that isn't always the best, like a GoPro or even smartphones. Or
yeah.
Even
and like I find that Hayden Pedersen's are a bit more geographical based. So they'll be like, oh, Tokyo photo battle, Los Angeles photo battle, yeah. or wherever he is photo battle. And us, we more mainly do like technical photo battle. So we'll be like taking a photo on a thrift store camera, taking a photo on a disposable camera. Like, so we'll do different things that kind of change up. It's a bit different. We add our own kind of spin on the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I hope people can appreciate that. It's like not obviously a carbon copy. It's just a similar idea.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so I think that pretty much brings us to pretty much up to speed about TMS Productions. Like there's kind of three eras of TMS Productions, which is before Out of 52, which is our early days. Out of 52, which is where we kind of built our style and kind of got into the groove of making videos. And then post Out of 52, which is where we are now, of us kind of refining our style, sticking to a niche and really building an audience, and where probably most of you guys know us from.
Exactly. So, is there anything else to cover necessarily? I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
So I hope you guys enjoyed kind of this whole little, like, I don't know, look back. And
I'm sorry if it was long-winded. I feel like there's a few option places where I'm like, you should probably stop talking.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we could literally do an episode about each episode individually go so in-depth. It's probably
that would
ridiculous.
Probably get really boring.
It'd probably get really boring. But yeah, we're kind of just trying to do like a high-level little recap of this whole entire, how we got to where we are today. So if you are new here, make sure you hit the follow button. Make sure you are up to date whenever we upload a new podcast. Also, because we are producing this podcast through the Anchor app, they actually allow for voice memos and voice notes. So something we want to maybe try to do is have you guys submit voice memos of questions so we can kind of answer the question and kind of chat about it and do things like that.
Yeah,
so
things that people want to hear about.
Yeah, so send us a voice message on Anchor. I think Anchor is the only one that supports it right now. But send us any questions you have. We'd love to answer anything. It doesn't even have to be photo video related. It can be anything at all. And we'd like to look into it. If you are on the Apple podcast app, make sure you leave us a rating, please. That's really helpful. If you're on any app, actually leave us a rating. And
we'll see you guys in the next episode.
Okay. Thanks for listening.
Also, leave us a rating. That would be a great help.
I just said that.
No, you said follow us.
I said
leave. He also said, do both.
Do everything.
Exactly.
Okay. See you guys later.
Bye.